Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they might invite you back, and you will have your repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness." Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. I just want to wish all of you a happy Labor Day. Labor Day is kind of the end of summer and the beginning of school and a little bit of rest before we go full tilt once again. But Labor Day was one of my favorite holidays with my father. That Father's Day and Labor Day are the ones that I remember him the most, because he had a different connotation of what a Labor Day meant. It meant, yes, free from the labor of being a breadwinner going to work, but it was a day of labor. He would say it was a day of labor of love, but it was putting things in order around the house, preparing for the fall and the winter. So we would spend the whole day working. We would be mowing the grass and trimming the hedges, as well as pruning the trees. My brother would mow the grass because he was the short one, and I would help my dad do the trees and the hedges because they were all over 6 feet tall. And then we would do one of the hardest things, was the conversion of the garage. See, because during the summer, the garage became like the summer picnic pavilion for the neighbor kids. When it rained, we would hang out in the garage, and it was full, of course, of all our sports equipments and our bikes. So we had to kind of put that back in order, put the things and the stuff away and take the junk out to the curb and make room for my dad to be able to park his car again as winter would come. But that was only the beginning of the day, because that was the labor part, and then we came to the rest part. And the rest part was simply that my mom would prepare a meal for us to eat on our back porch, a place where we could look at the work that we had accomplished through the day. My mom would make her favorite banquet sandwich, and we would have that with baked beans and a glass of lemonade. I know you want to know what the banquet sandwich is. It just simply was a barbecue kind of with relish, and it was cooked and baked until the bun was crisp. So we kind of called it our special banquet sandwich. And we would eat that on the porch just in time for the second game of the doubleheader. We would listen to that on the radio. I always think about Labor Day as kind of a Labor Day banquet. I thought of that mostly when I read the readings this week for what Jesus challenges us to do in regards to banquets. Did you catch the beginning of the gospel when Jesus speaks of how we are to act at a banquet? We're supposed to act at a banquet with great humility, basically, is what he's asking us to do, to follow what we hear in Sirach. Right? Conduct your affairs with humility. Why? Because you'll be loved more than he who is able to give great gifts. A banquet. What kind of banquet was Jesus at? He was basically at a Labor Day banquet. It was the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? It's a day of rest. To look upon what you were doing And here Jesus is celebrating a banquet. We have a definition in the dictionary for a banquet, and the banquet is an elaborate feast held for ceremonial purposes to honor a person or in recognition of an occasion or achievement. Our Labor Day banquets at home were simply the achievement of the work that we did in honor of my father, who worked so hard all the time to bring us what we needed as a family, and we would rest in that. But every banquet is set up the same way, is it not? It is a gathering of people, and then there is a keynote speaker, there's usually a toast to whomever we're celebrating, and then there's the food, and then the entertainment, and the rest of just being with each other. We're not too familiar with banquets as much as in the old days, but yet we still have quite a few banquets that we attend. Now, banquets are a funny thing because some people don't like going to them. Seriously, some people think they're boring. Some people think the keynote speaker was a waste of time. And there's only one reason why someone would not want to be at a banquet: to be there for a ceremonial occasion of honoring someone or achievements. Because it's not about them. It's the only reason why someone would not want to go to a banquet, right? Because of their pride. It's not about them. The banquet that Jesus calls us to recognize as our Labor Day banquet is right here. It's every Sunday. This is our Labor Day banquet. Because after a week of laboring in love, hopefully conducting our affairs with humility, we gather together to celebrate this banquet. And it's laid out just like every other banquet. We have the gathering of the people, of ourselves, and recognizing our common denominator, our sinfulness, right? And the penitential rite. And then we have a keynote speaker, and that's the scriptures. I get to give the toast. And then we move on to making sure we understand the achievements of who we are. And that's in the creed. And then acknowledging the most important guests. That's in our petitions. For those who are in most need of God's mercy. We go on to have the great meal of the Holy Eucharist, fed not only from the host, but on the host himself, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We continue our celebration really, truly by leaving here and taking that spirit of humility and love home with us. When Jesus tells us to be careful when we enter into a banquet and to do so with humility, he's asking us to recognize two things. One, first, you're always the guest. And secondly, you also are the host. So as the guest, come with humility. That's why when we come into the church, we pay attention to silence and reverence. That's why when we come in, we either genuflect to the tabernacle, or if we can't genuflect, we bow in reverence of the honored guest. We come here in humility and share the sign of peace after we pray the common prayer of the Our Father, so that we know we do not take a higher place, but we're welcome to that higher place when we walk in line to receive the King himself in the Holy Eucharist. But more importantly is when we're at the banquet of the Lord, this Labor Day banquet, is when we become the host. How are you the host of this banquet? By those you invite to be here with you. Who does Jesus tell us to invite? He says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame. Did you ever tell someone when you were coming to Mass, did you ever say, I'll pray for you at Mass, or I'll offer my communion for you? That's what you're doing. You're inviting them to be here. The most important things we bring here is not ourselves. It's not our pride. It's the need of those we love. Why? Because in humility, if we pray for someone, we're showing them a greater love than the gifts that we cannot give. And the gift we can't give is we can't, on our own, help them find new employment or even heal them or even take away their anxiety and fear, but we can pray for them so that they are not alone. As the host, you can invite those people. How often that happens too. Someone is struggling and say, why don't you come to Mass with me? Why don't you come to the banquet? Why don't you come after a long week of laboring and come and rest in the presence of the Lord? So what should be our mission this week? I think it should really be that we try to become like the saints who could not give great gifts, but were loved so much because of their humility. To direct our affairs all week long as labors of love, even if it's while we are winning bread for our family. But secondly, to realize that everything that happens throughout the week brings us to this great feast, this great banquet, where if we're humble enough, we'll never say that we do not belong. If we're humble enough, we'll hear the wonderful gift of God's love in the scriptures. And we'll even say amen to the host of the homily and allow ourselves to be nurtured and relax in the presence of the Lord. If we do those things, then we understand the whole idea of the Sabbath, that it is the labor is done and the celebration begins. So when you come forward to receive the King today in this whole Eucharist, remember the humility that you're called to do so. Make a throne for him. Bow to his presence. And when you receive him, ask him for that gift of humility, that you may direct yourself in a way that people love you more than those who can give them great gifts, because you give them Christ himself. And I promise I will do the same.